Behind the Wheel with Peter Hitchener and Chris Miller.
Driven by behindthewheel.com.au.
When do we go for a ride?
We're going to get all serious on you this week. This is Behind the Wheel. My name's Chris Miller. Peter Hitchener's over there, and I hope you've got your serious hat on.
No, I've got my serious hat on because there's a story around that is so important. We really must cover it.
Yep.
And it's a story that's going to cause a lot of disruption to a lot of people. However, efforts are being made to manage it. And I speak about the Takata airbag recall affecting millions of vehicles in Australia. We'll get to it in a minute.
You're right. And look, it's got to be unprecedented in its size. It's the first compulsory recall we've ever had and could impact up to one in five cars currently on the road.
It's astonishing. But
it really is.
Fortunately, Rod Sims from the ACCC, who are overseeing the recall and how it's put into effect, he'll be chatting to us very shortly, so stay tuned because this could affect your car.
Absolutely. And we'll also chat to the VACC with their take on what impact this recall will have on the Australian car market and the car industry overall level. But there are reports that basically if your car's under this recall and it hasn't been repaired, well, you're not able to get a roadworthy certificate and you can't on-sell the car. So it could mean that the entire used car market just grinds to an absolute halt.
Well, we're going to find out from the VACC. And also, we're going to be driving a car that I absolutely loved. And I know I hogged it first time round. I speak about the Honda Civic Type R, which I loved.
Yeah.
What do you think of it,
Mark? Oh, my God. It's everything that I dreamed it was going to be and just a little bit more. I love the fact there's not a surface untouched on the Civic Type R that doesn't have a fin or a wing on it.
Absolutely. There's flourishes. There's more flourishes than most people have had hot breakfasts. I can tell you that. But it is wonderful. It makes a statement. And for a car that's hot, it's actually incredibly practical and incredibly enjoyable to drive every day. I couldn't wait to get into it.
It's so easy to live with. You're right. And you expect it to be a spine-crunching kind
not
of,
at all.
You know, shake your fillings out of your jaw sort of thing.
Yep.
Not at all. It's actually really compliant. Mm. However, when you press that little R button and everything kind of gets red and angry looking.
Look out.
And I can totally understand how it is the fastest front-wheel drive car around the Nürburgring because there's very few cars. I can't remember a car that I've ever driven that goes around a corner as well as this thing.
Exactly. It is just so good.
We're going to go driving in just a couple of minutes. Just want to run you through, though, what else we've got in store. I know there's loads of people out there that are huge fans of the Ford Mustang.
Well, look, there are because you see Mustangs everywhere
you
on
do.
The road. You see them all over the place. People just seem to love them. Now, we've had a few reservations about the Mustang in its earlier incarnation.
Namely, the two-star ANCAP safety rating.
Exactly. That'll put you off every time.
Well, you'd think, wouldn't you? But it hasn't seemed to.
No.
And in fact, the Mustang is the best-selling sports car in the country. Looks like we've got a few upgrades in store for 2018. I believe a little bit more kit in the safety side of things.
I wonder how many safety ratings they get to now.
I don't know. It's got a bit more of a downturned look on its face. They've got a tweet.
Oh, from the Mini Countryman to the Ford Mustang.
Well, you know, it actually reminds me a little bit, too, of the new A-Class from Mercedes-Benz and the CLS. You know the way they've got that sort of look like they've just sucked on a lemon?
A look of disdain. Yes.
Well, the Mustang's a bit like that. We've got Damien Smye on from the Communications Department of Ford. He's going to tell us what new updates and bits and pieces you can expect on the 2018 Mustang. Joel Helms, we are able to get him as he flits from launch to launch. I think we're going to find him later in the show hanging out with the BMW guys. They've just ripped the covers off the all-new X2.
Yes.
I see
it everywhere. Just demonstration versions of
it. Yes, yes.
Now you can, for the first time, you can have an X2.
And I can tell you're just champing at the bit to get to a BMW dealer to buy a swoopy-backed four-wheel drive. Because I know how much you love them.
Look, here's the thing. I do like BMWs. Yes, I do.
Yep.
Swoopy-backed four-wheel drives, not so much. But I know they'll sell like hotcakes.
I know. It just shows you how many people out there. No, I shouldn't say that. I don't have any taste at all.
Oh, no. Hey,
I shouldn't say that. No,
taste subjective.
You do know that it would seem that it really is a huge trend because Audi's coming out with one soon too.
Yes.
They're going to get the swoopy-backed SUV.
Oh, absolutely. And I shouldn't talk because I do drive a swoopy-backed Audi anyway, which is the
it's
A7.
It's a hatchback. It's sort of down low.
Yes, it's down low.
Look,
it's meant
normal.
It looks normal.
Yeah. Rachel Franco, we love her, and she's back to talk Well, she's got a bit of a vintage spotlight this week. She wants to go back to the times of Michael J. Fox and the clock tower being struck by lightning. Of course, I'm talking about DeLorean.
Oh, my heavens above, cars. She is going back in time. I say, Rachel, even I can't remember that, and I'm 800 years old. What are you saying?
Well, the car, of course, was built in Belfast. It was under General Motors somehow.
Yes, and there were these talks. Oh, the DeLorean was going to be the saviour of the Northern Ireland economy. It was going to change the world, but didn't.
Yeah, no, it kind of fell on its face a little, didn't it? I saw a DeLorean the other day in the flesh.
Did you?
Yeah, and I must say, like, you could tell whoever owned it had spent an absolute bucket load on it. I think mainly on Brasso to polish the stainless steel because it was spotless. But, I mean, when you kind of look at it in 2018, you go, ugh.
Isn't it funny?
It was a bit rough around the edges, wasn't it?
Isn't it funny how you look at styles these days that you thought at the time were magnificent and you think, oh, actually, that's not so nice. however, I keep on going back to the Citroen DS23 Palace or whichever one you want. Mm. I saw one the other day. Oh, it was glorious.
Were they glorious when they were brand new?
Oh, absolutely.
Did everybody love them, yeah?
Well, I think they were probably a little controversial, but I just thought they were glorious, and I saw one the other day.
Yeah.
And I just
timeless,
look, oh, it's timeless. I really, if I'd had the money, which I didn't, and if I had the time, which I also didn't, I'd have tapped on the driver's window and said, excuse me, part with your car, will you please? I love it.
Fantastic. I wonder what people are going to think in 20 years' time about this Civic Type R.
Well, they certainly can't say it's underdecorated, that's for sure, because it makes a statement, I'll give you that. But everyone loves it. People of all ages were looking at it, and I don't think with looks of derision on their faces. I think they were looking at it adoringly.
I think so. I reckon we should head down to the garage. Just go for a spin.
Let's give it a crack.
All right, so a mad dash down the carport stairs and we've hit the Honda Civic Type R. Oh, my God. Like, look at this thing. It's nuts.
I absolutely love the colour of this one. It's, well, not to put too fine a point on it, it's shiny black in colour and it's got lovely red highlights, including the seat belts, which are red and very fetching. And the car itself is just magnificent looking. It's got more bells and whistles and twiddles and flourishes than you've ever seen.
I'm not sure if all of the fins do anything. Surely some of them have got to do something. Surely.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I don't care because they look wonderful.
Well, I did notice, certainly on the front mudguards, when you look at there's a vent kind of coming out of the back of that just before it kind of gets to the start of the front door, I do notice that there's a big gap in there and it is actually channeling air back towards the back of the car. So they're attempting it to do something. Whether or not it actually impacts how you travel down Collins Street at 40 kilometres an hour, however, I don't know. But look, who cares? Because it looks sensational.
It looks sensational. And the way you drive on the open road, I think it needs that air channel down towards the back of the car. But the good point is, if you are driving in Collins Street, or in fact in any traffic at all, the car is amazingly functional and comfortable and nice to use.
Whilst the car sounds good, it's not contrived or synthetic or it's really genuine and authentic, isn't it? You know,
it is.
It sounds exactly like a 2-litre highly strung turbo should.
And it is all of those things. Beautiful.
So here we go out onto just, you know, your normal sort of city street. Yeah. And to potter down the road here, it's fine. Like, there's bumps in the road there. Did you feel any of those in
the
cabin?
Not at all. No. It rides beautifully. The seats are so comfortable. I just love this car, I must say. I didn't want to give it back when I drove it, although the colour that I had wasn't nearly as exciting as this one.
Oh, really?
I must tell you that.
Oh, okay,
No, it was white with and some of the flourishes were in contrasting colours.
Oh, right,
but this
okay.
one looks mean and beasty on the road, but it's very, very biddable underneath.
You mentioned the seats and how comfortable they are. Mm. Of course, they're Recaro buckets, swathed in kind of like a, it's sort of a velvety fabric, isn't it?
Yep.
The red, like on the outside, is all over the interior, including the steering wheel. And in fact, if there's anything that I don't like about the interior, it's the steering wheel, because it's just straight out of a garden variety Civic and it just feels a bit big. But look, it's certainly not going to put you off. It certainly doesn't put me off. And now as we kind of get out into sort of some of the quieter areas, it gives us an opportunity to do this, shall we?
Oh, all right then.
All right, let's do it. Now, did you hear that while it was scrabbling for traction?
I heard it. Don't worry. I wasn't sure if it was my hands grabbing the seat or what it was, but I think it was the wheels.
I think it was. And it's basically the two front wheels trying to get 202 kilowatts to the ground. It's going to be a challenge with that much power. But you know what? The traction control isn't too nanny-like. It doesn't jump in on you straight away.
No.
But as much as this car's got loads and loads and loads of power, I think it's sort of the way it goes around corners and the way it stops.
Yes.
Those brakes are just unbelievable. And time again, you can just jump on them. The thing stops on a penny. No sign of fade, no nothing. It just they love punishment.
They certainly do. Now, you've said that Honda has its mojo back. One question, how much?
As it sits, 52 grand.
You certainly get attention in this thing. People of all ages seem to just love it.
Absolutely. I think it's safe to say we do too.
Very much so.
Check it out, the Honda Civic Type R.
The ideal family vehicle has seven seats, is spacious, practical, luxurious, and realistically priced. The new Havel H9 ticks all those boxes. The 2018 Havel H9 has just landed in Australian dealerships and boasts a turbocharged 180 kilowatt engine, 8-speed auto transmission, and more of the luxuries car buyers have come to expect from Havel. With seven seats, great off-road ability, and a 5-year warranty, this is the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au.
You've heard us on the radio. Now check out the Behind the Wheel website. At behindthewheel.com.au, you can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews too. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news. And make sure you leave your comments. Give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. Behindthewheel.com.au, where motoring starts.
Behind the Wheel.
Behind the Wheel, where motoring starts.
Yeah, look, big week in Australian motoring. I think probably one of the biggest weeks ever for the Australian car industry, Pete, with, of course, the news of the huge recall. Well, first ever compulsory recall for the motor industry in this country.
Indeed.
And it looks to be a recall that's impacting one in five cars currently on the road.
Yes.
Now, of course, regular listeners to Behind the Wheel would be all too familiar with the Takata airbag scandal.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, it has really kind of gone to a whole new level today and this week. So to find out a bit more about it, we say a big Behind the Wheel welcome back to the chairman of the ACCC. It's Mr. Rod Sims. G'day, Rod. How are you going?
Oh, g'day, Chris. Thank
you for joining us, Rod. It affects already, I think, about 2 million or more vehicles, but it looks like it could get up to 4 million by the time we know all the models affected, because there are still some to come.
That's right, Peter. So we had 2.7 million cars under voluntary recall.
Mm-hmm.
1.7 of those have been fixed. They've had the airbag replaced. That leaves 1 million to go. We're adding on now another 1.3 million onto that with this compulsory recall, which takes the number of cars with a recall to 2.3 million with cars that haven't had their airbag yet replaced.
Mm.
I think it's important to understand that 2.3 million. So, as I say, 1 million is cars already under voluntary recall where the airbag hasn't yet been replaced. Then you've got about 450,000 which will need to be replaced later but aren't a safety concern now,
mm-hmm.
but they're still subject to the compulsory recall, so consumers can see when they do need to be recalled, but you don't. There's no issue now because they're well under 6 years, which is the key date and people need to keep in the mind. These things can only misdeploy after 6 years and not necessarily immediately after that either.
Immediately. Mm.
And then you've got 850,000, which are largely cars that, cars where there was no recall occurring. And here I'm thinking Ford and Holden, for example, and Volkswagen. So pretty big, pretty popular makes of cars.
Certainly
where there
are.
Was no recall.
Yeah.
And particularly companies like Volkswagen and Holden argue they shouldn't be recalled because their airbags are made in a better way Our concern is they've still got the design flaw, so our view is they need to be recalled. But again, they're probably ones which will have a concern, a need to be replaced just a little bit later on.
Later on. Now, I understand that there are two factors in affecting people having their car refitted. Some people are reluctant to do it for some inexplicable reason, and some say that they go to their manufacturers and there just aren't the spare parts available to have it done.
That's right. So part of this, I mean, of the cars that were being voluntary recalled, some manufacturers are doing it well and some were doing it not well. And the way we've now done this, yet another reason, I mean, part of the reason for the voluntary recall is to pick up those manufacturers that didn't want to recall or weren't recalling.
Yep.
And the other part is to improve the way the recall works with the existing recall. And part of the problem is the way often they were communicating with people. So this recall requires them both to contact the customer in fairly direct language, pointing out the problem, but also we need a bit more television, radio, social media advertising so that people are aware of the problem. So I think the communication sometimes has been a bit hazy, which is why people haven't acted on it.
So you guys have issued this compulsory recall. What sort of time frame are we looking at for the manufacturers to respond to your instructions and, I suppose, to have all those faulty airbags removed from the cars, of course, dealing with the shortage of spare parts?
Yeah, so we've done a lot of work. We've looked at all the available world research and hired the world-leading expert. We've issued compulsory notices to the manufacturers to find out everything they know. We've had a lot of engagement with them, but we've also talked to other airbag manufacturers to understand the timetable for supplying alternative bags. And as a result of that, we've got a staggered process where bags will be replaced according to risk. And the two key risk factors are how old is the car,
mm-hmm,
and what's the weather like. Where it's hot and humid and or changeable, that's when you're going to have a larger problem.
Mm.
And, of course, it does also affect, it is also relevant how it was made and how well it was made. So there's a lot of variables here,
yep,
but we're prioritising the cars for replacement according to risk. So I think, so that's the first point. Second point is we're going to have a schedule in early April, which we'll publish, which will tell people the makes and models of cars to worry about. So you already know that with the million remaining under voluntary recall. For that 1 million, you can already go to the website and find out whether the make and model of your car is affected. From early April, you'll know that in relation to the remaining, the additional 1.3 million. And by 1 July, you'll be able, I mean, to some extent you can do this now, but for every manufacturer, it will be compulsory to have a website where you just enter your 17-character vehicle identification number and it'll tell you immediately whether your car is the worst type of airbag, the Alpha airbag, which is only about 25,000 left, and it had to be a car you bought between 2000 and 2004, so there's not many of those left, mm-hmm, or whether it's under current recall, or whether it's one that's subject to a future recall.
Pending, yes. Now, you said before, of course, that it is a very complex issue, and adding to the complexity is the news that Takata airbags manufactured in Germany are under a cloud now. Now, we're talking here about Audi, Volkswagen, Skoda, Ford, Holden, Tesla, Jaguar, Land Rover. I mean, it must be unprecedented, this kind of reach.
Oh, there's no question this is unprecedented. This is the... you've got 100 million motor cars across the world affected. It's unprecedented. It's complicated, as I've said, because it depends on where it was manufactured, the type of design, the humidity and climate in which the car's driven, and there's all sorts of permutations. Mm. So with the cars companies you're talking about, the only way we've been able to get them to recall their cars is through a compulsory notice. Otherwise, they felt they didn't need to.
Mm-hmm.
Volkswagen and Holden very strong on this. They argue that their design has either a stronger metal casing or is differently pressured or has a more dense propellant. They argue those sort of things. Our view is, and the view of our expert and the bulk of the research, is that the fundamental design failure will cause, or design fault, will cause failure at some stage. It may be a bit later, and that, which is why people don't have to panic now. It may be a bit later, but they do need to be replaced. So let's get on and do it now.
I hear the feeling. I keep getting the feeling of class actions eventually on this. What do you think?
Oh, look, I'll leave that for others. our focus, and I mean this quite seriously, is safety.
Yeah, of course.
We want to get all these airbags replaced by the end of 2020. We want to do that in a risk-based way where the urgent ones, and particularly those badly made Alpha airbags, of which, as I say, there's only 25,000, and I expect most are in a junkyard. But we're saying to people, look up now, because you can find out right now whether you're driving one of those Alpha airbag cars. Mm-hmm. As I say, it has to be a car 2000, 2004, something like that.
Yep.
But find out now. If you've got that car, don't drive it. Otherwise, the recall hopefully will be happening in a way that it aligns with the risk. So that's our complete focus. It can be up to others to worry about class actions and things like that.
Of course.
Yeah, fair enough. Assume all the information available at the ACCC website, Rod?
Yes, we've got everything there on the website, including tips for consumers, what consumers should do. But I also want to emphasise that the fundamental obligation is on the companies to contact you. So I don't want people panicking. The earliest an airbag can degrade is 6 years. And then it's got to meet certain conditions. So even if you've got a car older than 6 years, I wouldn't panic. Check your manufacturer's website. If you're not on that website, then yes, it could get recalled later, but that'll be because it's not as much an immediate risk. So I don't want people panicking. We're trying to do this in a risk-adjusted way.
Yeah,
gotcha. All right, best way to do it is remain informed. Do that at the ACCC website and keep your ear out for the fabulous chairman of the ACCC, Rod Sims. Great to have your time again today, mate.
Thanks very much, Chris. Thanks very much, Peter.
Thank you.
One of the smartest and most versatile products in the Altrex Auto Accessories range is Skin's Invisible Protection Film. Apply to your car's headlights or paintwork to protect from stone chips and road debris damage without affecting aerodynamic efficiency or the look of your car. You can use the ultra-thin and strong film on items around your house, such as windows, furniture and white goods. Order a roll now at altrex.com.au or pick some up at your local auto accessory retailer. Skin's Invisible Protection Film. The clear choice in paintwork and headlight protection, and a whole lot more. For the latest truck and bus industry news, visit heavyvehicles.com.au. We bring you coverage of the latest new models, new technologies, and issues that matter to owners and drivers. Read heavy vehicle reviews, and you can win some great truck-related prizes too. heavyvehicles.com.au. Truck and bus news every day.
Behind the wheel.
On the road. Accelerated by behindthewheel.com.au.
Alrighty, well, we've dealt with the serious stuff this week. Just shocking that, unprecedented recall. One in every five cars on Aussie roads. Oh, it's
shocking.
Hard to believe. It really is.
Quite shocking.
Anyway, I think we should leave that serious news behind us and get serious about a car that Aussies have just fallen head over heels in love with.
Yes.
It seems to be like every third car on the road at the moment is a Ford Mustang, and they're nearly
everywhere.
All V8s with the, you know, the convertible version, the most expensive one.
Yep.
They love them. But look, there's been a bit of an upgrade for 2018. I believe some of the safety systems they had a couple of issues with have been improved. To tell us about it, we say a big behind the wheel welcome to Damien Smy from Ford. G'day, Damien. How are you going?
G'day, guys. I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
It's great to talk to you, Damien. And you must, at Ford, you must be absolutely thrilled at the reception to the Mustang. Since this reborn, refreshed Mustang first became available, people have just gone nuts about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a bit overwhelming, to be honest. We didn't expect it to be as successful as it is. it really has struck a chord with a lot of people. And as you mentioned, there's quite a few of them about. But the interesting thing with Mustang is it's not one type of buyer or one person. It kind of is the most universal car we've got. So, yeah, we're really pleased and we're really happy.
So it doesn't just appeal to balding kind of 60-plus men?
Hey!
I can't see you guys, so I don't know if that's true or not. But no, it definitely doesn't, and that's what's great about it. It's got an appeal. You mentioned the convertible. A lot of people are purebred fastback people that love the V8, and there's a little group of people that actually like the EcoBoost version, the 2.3 turbo 4 as well. So we've got a good mix of Mustang enthusiasts that we're really happy with.
So how many of the Mustangs would be the four cylinder version when you sell them?
Oh, the V8's definitely still the favourite, absolutely. Yeah. So probably around two-thirds, three-quarters is still the V8. I mean, that's what a lot of people think of when they think of V8, when they think of Mustang, sorry. So that's the classic, you know, the dream of owning a Mustang going back over the more than 50-year history now was to own a V8 Mustang. So for a lot of people, they realise that, but there's still a new group of buyers that, you know, you get that shape. You get that Mustang shape, the Mustang look, but you've also got a grunty four-cylinder that's quite flexible and fun to drive as well.
There's no doubt about it that the retro look of the Mustang really works. It generally doesn't, in my opinion, when people sort of bring back a car from the you know, from years ago, and you look
think
at
of the Dodge
should have been left there, but the Mustang, however, is fresh as tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's amazing that it still looks like a Mustang, but it looks new. So the 2018 update still looks like the Mustang, but again, it's got a fresh, more aggressive look. And I think that's part of its appeal. I mean, if we change Mustang drastically, we still want you to look at it and know it's a Mustang in a second.
Now, what has affected... So one of the complaints about the first models of the Mustang were the safety ratings. We have to mention it because they were not good. It didn't deter buyers, but as far as we've been led to believe, the safety ratings were around 2 stars out of a possible 5. That's changed, though, hasn't it?
It has, because for 2018, the Mustang's got a few upgrade in terms of the safety systems, and the big thing that Mustang was called out on was not having AEB. And for 2018, we've got that. That'll be a standard feature on Mustang. Whether you're buying the EcoBoost, whether you're buying the V8 convertible or fastback, you'll have that AEB. And that was the single biggest feature. We know how ANCAP and we know how customers are looking at AEB these days, and for that, we've come back with a Mustang that has AEB, so that's great news.
Excellent. Pleased to hear it. What other exciting new things can we find in the 2018 Mustang?
Well, believe it or not, there's more power.
Excellent. That's what we want to hear. There we go.
And the other thing, so for the numbers guys out there, it's 339 kilowatts. The current V8 has 306.
Oh,
so
it's a big whack, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Also more torque to go with that, which obviously is the thing that affects drivability.
Yeah.
But the other thing that a lot of people will like, and some people may not care about the power figure, but more noise.
That's what we want. I was going to say to you just before, the Ford V8 Mustang has got to be the best sounding car on the road.
Well, it is, and some people want it louder, and we sell Ford Performance exhaust to cater for that, but as standard on the 2018 model, on the V8, you'll get an active exhaust system. So you've probably seen these before where as you get to a certain point, the exhaust system gets louder. So, it'll be you'll be able to unleash that V8 noise even more with the 2018 model. So I think that's a welcome change for us.
Indeed. So you can hit a button and kind of have it full noise, even if you are going down Bridge Road trying to scare pedestrians at 40 kilometres an hour.
Well, yes, so you can change the mode, so you can be quiet if you want to, but I like to the other way around. I'd like to have more V8 noise in my ears, particularly in a convertible.
Yeah. Oh, yes, but I'm sure that the fastback's popular with buyers as well.
Oh, absolutely. So, and a lot of people just like that shape, that we officially call it a fastback, some people call it a coupe, our official name's fastback, and some people just love that original shape. And then you've got the guys who want a convertible it's a GT car, so convertibles are underrated in terms of the way they immerse you when you have a proper experience from almost any seat, not just the driver's seat.
Oh, yes, right. It's lovely to have wind in what's left of your hair. So, great idea.
Exactly right. So we got more power, we got a safer car. Anything else that we can expect in the 2018 Mustang that isn't in the current one?
Well, I haven't really mentioned that it looks still like a Mustang, but quite different.
I must say, the pictures I've seen, it looks like it has been sort of in the citrus grove, particularly around the lemon trees, having a bit of a suck.
Well, we've got a new... The Hero colour is actually called Orange Fury. So it's a bright orange colour. You might have seen some of the images. And so that kind of... The nose is different. The front bumper is a bit more aggressive. The tail's a little bit different as well. So it's got a new look.
Yes.
It'll look a bit tougher than the current car.
It does.
But it's also still got that iconic Mustang shape.
Yes, so, and those eyes. I think the eyes are a bit different too, are they not? Around the grill. It looks like it to me anyway, but what do I know?
No, you're spot on. And one of the great things is, you might have noticed the American Mustang has these shark gill LED lights at the front. There's three little sets of lights in the headlamps. We haven't had that in Australia, but the 2018 gets that. I know it's a minor feature, but a lot of people have commented on that little three shark gill LED, and that's part of the 2018 car. So you also get, there's more stuff inside as well. So we've got, for example, a digital dash, which we first showed on the GT, the Le Mans winning race car. So there's changes inside too, and also improved interior materials. So we've got a few changes inside as well. So it's a really nice honing of what's already a really popular package.
Excellent. Looking forward to driving it. When can we do that?
Yes, that's the question.
Second half of this year, guys. So we'll have a launch towards the middle Q3, roughly thereabouts.
Yep.
And there'll be opportunities to hear Mustang and see Mustang in 2018, and we're really looking forward to that.
And then also we'll find out what the dollars are too, no doubt.
We've already announced pricing for Mustang.
Oh, yeah? Oh, good.
So it starts off, the current car's 45, so the EcoBoost goes to 49 for the new model.
Right.
So with the spec, there's a few changes and a few pricing details. I think they're on Ford.com.au at the moment, but if not, they'll shortly be.
And if Pete looked at our website, he'd find them there too, behindthewheel.com.au.
Sorry, guys.
Don't be at all.
No, go to Ford.com.au.
Thanks, Damien.
Well, you can link there from behindthewheel.com.au. Damien Smy from Ford. Great to talk to you, mate. Don't be a stranger. Come back soon.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Well, the car industry is constantly striving to achieve cleaner and greener motoring, and helping the environment doesn't just stop at the tailpipe. Washing a car can be extremely harmful to the environment. Just think about the damage you could be doing to your local waterways when you wash off all those soap suds down the drain. Not only that, some car wash and car care products are made using harsh and harmful chemicals that start damaging the environment before they even get into your home. The answer is to invest in the terrific CarPlan EcoCar. There's a whole product range available now from Alltrex Auto Accessories, and basically it features a water-based formula that contains natural waxes, including Carinuba, whatever that is, and beeswax. Yep, you can wash your car with beeswax. You can order this great product right now and all the other EcoCar products, all at fantastic prices, from Alltrex. That's alltrex.com.au.
Australian families looking for the ideal vehicle for their needs are often left frustrated. Some vehicles seem to tick all the boxes but then cost the earth. Others are well priced but don't have the space or features that families need. Stop compromising, as there is an option that won't leave you wanting more. The new Havel H9. Boasting a 180kW turbo engine, 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity, the Havel H9 just can't be beaten. Visit your local Havel dealership today or havel.com.au.
Behind the wheel.
On the road. Accelerated by behindthewheel.com.au.
Yep, we're going to go revisit Marty McFly with Rachel Franco shortly, talking DeLorean. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Oh, yes. Rach always has great topics. Today's is no exception.
Indeed. Going to review a fantastic eco-friendly product from Alltrex in a couple of minutes. But right now, the man who is, well, I think he's in Australia, at a car launch for sure.
Yes.
That is the one and only Joel Helms. Hello, mate. How are you going?
Hey, guys. I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Where are you?
Good to talk to you.
I'm in the national capital.
Oh, you poor thing.
Lovely. That'll be nice. Lovely for you there. And, of course, it's for a model launch. Tell us about the car.
Oh, no, he goes there just for fun.
Yeah, just for fun. Exactly. Just for the fireworks.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah. And all the action. Now, of course, you would be in Canberra for a car launch, and I'm thinking BMW.
Yes, the new BMW X2, which is the first time that we've seen an X2 join the lineup. Of course, we used to go from an X1 to skip up to an X3, 4, 5, 6, and of course, there's the big one coming as well, the X7. But now the X2 is there to complement the X1 with which it shares the same platform.
Gotcha. So I'm assuming, because it's got an even number on the back of it, it's going to be a silly design where it has a swoopy back on top of sort of an SUV body that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, but it's not as swoopy as say, your X4. It's probably more, I suppose, what you say, like a Mazda CX-3 kind of shape. So basically a real beefed-up hatchback, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, it's not quite as extreme as some.
So, and to look at it, say, in comparison to the X1, how does it differ?
It sits a lot lower. So the floor's a lot lower. The roof's about 70 millimetres lower than the X1.
Oh, that's considerable.
Yeah, it is. So it's considerably different to the X1 in a lot of ways. And I guess you'd say it is the sportier variant of the two. However, having driven the four-cylinder, two-litre turbo petrol, which is the only one available at this stage, diesel coming and a three-cylinder coming around the middle of the year, I'd say it's relatively sporty without being a sports model, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yes I do. Yeah. So would that be a two-litre turbo in a similar state of tune that we'd find in, say, the 320i or sort of that 185-kilowatt 330i?
No, we're talking about the lower outputs.
Right, okay, yep. So it'd be the same as your 320i, what, around 130, 140 kilowatts, somewhere around there?
Yeah, exactly right. And, look, decent acceleration, decent performance, so, you know, but not a sports model by any stretch of the imagination.
So who's going to buy it, Joel? Who does it appeal to?
Well, BMW believes that it will appeal to young couples, perhaps young couples with a baby, and also people who are downsizing, so perhaps empty nesters or retirees who don't necessarily need something the size of an X4 or an X5, but they still want to stay with the brand, so they'll jump into an X2 in their belief. But, of course, with those younger buyers, what they're trying to do is come up with models like this that will attract people into the brand for the first time.
For the first time.
Yeah, which is a constant struggle, not just for BMW, but for a lot of the premium brands, is getting people to pay the extra dollars to make the jump into becoming a BMW person.
And speaking of the dollars, how many?
Well, we're looking at $56,000 as a starting price. Obviously, the three-cylinder version will be a little bit cheaper. We don't know the prices of that one as yet. It is a fair amount of money. It's a vehicle that is comfortable for two. The rear seat is adequate for another two people. There's really good headroom throughout, but the leg room in the back is a little bit short on supply if you've got taller people up front and the front seats are back a bit. Look, it's a decent little thing. It drives okay. The tyres, I thought, were a little bit noisy. Otherwise, it's just, your typical BMW. It's quiet enough, got all the usual features. That price tag, however, could be just a little bit prohibitive for some people.
Gotcha. The X1, on which it's based, comes in a couple of different variants. You can get the X-Drive, which indicates that all-wheel drive system, and then the S-Drive, which in this instance, weirdly, for a BMW anyway, it's a front-wheel drive car. Is it the same in the X2?
Yeah, exactly the same. So this one's a front-wheel drive. The three-cylinder will be front-wheel drive, but the turbo diesel, it will be an all-wheel drive. Very similar, of course, sharing, once again, the same platform, the Mini Countryman. Very impressive car, the Mini Countryman is. I'm not really sure that I'd be choosing the BMW over the Mini. No, just personally.
Okay, I don't think BMW would care either way because all the money goes to them, whichever you choose, I suppose.
Exactly.
Now let's change tack a bit because I do know you've been out driving dual cab utes, namely one of my favourites that I think is a little underrated and overlooked by a lot of tradies out there, that being the Nissan Navara. They've updated it.
Yeah, most impressive drive of the year so far. They have really ironed out the foibles that it did have. I know that we've spoken about the Navara in the past, and as compared to things like Hiace and Hilux rather, and Ranger, it was always not that great with carrying a load in the back or putting a caravan on the back because of the coil spring suspension, where all the others have the leaf springs, which is a better setup in theory for a heavy load. I always thought the steering in the Navara as well was fairly wooden and vague.
Yep.
But the Nissan engineers have gone back to the drawing board. They've fixed up the steering. The steering is excellent. And they've put in a reworking of the rear suspension in the Navara. It's still the same setup.
Still coils,
Still coils, but double rate springs. And the difference is it's completely different. On the launch, I drove the new Navara with a camper trailer hooked up on the back. Separately, I drove one with 650 kilos in the tray and drove one as well with no weight in the back. And it's a very, very nice truck. It's fixed all the little things about it that you might say, you know, don't hit for the Navara. The ride and handling and the steering and even the sound absorption in the cabin, all very SUV-like. So I think they've just done a tremendous job with the new Navara.
Yeah, nice. I do know that was the biggest criticism of the Navara was what it was like when it was carrying load. So it seems they've ironed that out. Of course, you can read the Navara launch review, and I'm sure probably the BMW X2 launch review, at our website, behindthewheel.com.au. Joel, we'll look forward to finding you somewhere in this great nation next week.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen.
So from BMW X2s, Nissan Navaras and eco-friendly car wash, which I know you keep in your laundry, in the laundry trough, I've always noticed the eco-friendly car products in your house.
You have to keep it close. You never know when you're going to need it.
Because none of those bottles ever look opened, and they've been there since 2006.
Well, look, yes.
I'm not sure whether those eco products actually are still currently eco in 2018.
They're eco because they haven't been touched.
Right. So they are friendly to the environment because they stay inside their bottle.
Exactly. Right. What more do you want? Exactly.
A girl who we like to let out of her bottle only once a week because the world couldn't cope with anymore. She's fabulous, and she is Rachel Franco. Hi.
Hi. I don't think they'd cope because I'm such a pain in the butt.
Oh, hey, no, you're not.
But anyway.
Don't believe anyone who says anything like that.
Rachel Franco, you're amazing.
Thanks, Pete.
You're amazing and you know it. And I love your thoughts about something that came from the 80s. Yes. And that's something that... Oh, there it is.
Oh, yeah. I'm a bit of Huey Lewis.
I can never get enough Huey Lewis. Well, in fact, you can. I think that's probably about enough.
Yeah, that's about it. Oh, sorry, everyone who was humming along just now. You'll have to finish the song by yourself, I'm afraid.
So Huey Lewis, of course, did provide a couple of movie soundtracks in the 80s, probably most memorably for that flick with Michael J. Fox and what was the mad professor's name?
Christopher Lloyd.
That's it. Yeah, he was good. Christopher Lloyd, yeah.
Doc's name was.
And, of course, we talk of Back to the Future.
Oh,
and one of the most famous cars, I think, probably of all time because of the movie.
Absolutely. I reckon it was the star of the film, the DeLorean.
It really was. And at the time, we thought they looked amazing. You know, you think,
they did. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, they sort of did, except look at one now and see how you feel.
Yeah, no.
What do you think, Rach?
I still think they look fantastic.
Oh, do you?
There's a couple in Sydney. There's one that I know in the Hills District that I've seen around a few times, like on the M2 and stuff. And I think it just looks as amazing today as it did back in the 80s. It's such a great car.
There were some.
I know there'll be heaps of people that disagree with me, but I love it.
No, well, there were some amazing cars in the 80s. I'm not sure how any of them have actually stood the test of time. There's the Ferrari Testarossa.
Datsun Bluebird Triple S.
Oh, who could pass up one of those? The perfect. Dano. They call them perfect. The GTI Volkswagen, like the Golf. I mean, they've been around from a bit before that, I think.
I think they were like 77.
They came into their own in the 80s.
There was, of course, the Chimera.
Oh, I know. And what about the Mitsubishi Starion?
Oh, the Starion.
Yeah, exactly.
Look out.
I mean, you know, so I don't know how any of them looks these days, but...
The Starion actually looks still pretty good.
Does it look all right?
It doesn't look bad.
Some of them have fared well and others... My auntie had a Chimera and I loved it. When I was a kid, it was like that poo brown colour.
Oh, lovely. The metallic poo brown. Yes, okay.
Yeah,
yep.
Brilliant. It was everywhere.
Was it the Vacationer? Because there was a Chimera Vacationer.
They did do a Chimera Vacationer along with the Commodore Vacationer.
That's right.
Oh,
and a Kingswood,
And I think I set apart by the decals. I think that's
what it was.
Really
you got
it was.
Stickers.
The only difference.
Yep, you got stickers.
You got a nice sticker on the side. but I think there's a lot of 80s cars, and I think the DeLorean for sure is one of them, that have actually aged very well. And especially I think too now, like I'm noticing that there's that sort of squarish, hard line look is coming back in. So I think car manufacturers are moving a bit
back
more
to
away
it.
From that, bubbly look to more of this sort of late 70s, early 80s.
Like the Audi Quattro had that sort of
did
sort of look
to it. Absolutely.
The sort of Volvos of that time that we know were like just boxes on wheels.
Indeed. The car that we took you for a drive around the corner in a little earlier in the show, the Honda Civic Type R.
Oh, glorious.
Reminds me of a car that I owned. I owned two versions of this particular car.
He loved it.
And I saw one on the road the other day and I went, God, that still looks really current.
It does, actually. You're quite right.
The first of the Honda CRXs, remember, with the notch back, you know, the kind of, the chopped off back?
Yeah, it was like
Geez, they were great cars. Yeah, they
were really good.
I had a red one and a black one. Both of them were amazing and they still look good. So there's a few cars that did make it out of the 80s that you'd still go, yeah, okay, I could be seen in that. Now, I reckon the DeLorean's one. You would, however, need to buy shares in Brasso or the company that manufactures Brasso or Silvo because the stainless steel exterior is a bit like, you know, your kitchen splashback where if you accidentally touch it, you leave that sort of fingerprint there for all to see.
Yeah, it's not a good look. I don't know if I could handle the maintenance on that, for sure.
And of course, you have to be careful, too, about opening those doors in confined spaces because you don't want to bonk the side of the door or the roof.
Or closing the door after getting into it, you know, if you're being driven home at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night or something and you kind of get a bit excited with pulling that falcon wing. Oh, no, is it a falcon wing door? I suppose it would be, wouldn't it?
Sort of, yeah.
Gull wing.
There we go. It could get a bit hairy.
Not practical.
Of course, the biggest issue with your DeLorean, though, is trying to keep your driver's license because, of course, the prerequisite is if you get into DeLorean, you must immediately try and get to 88 miles an hour as quickly as you possibly can.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'd have no trouble doing that.
That's right. And that allows you to change centuries or something.
That's right.
Or maybe fly. So get you up above the traffic.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Because they were chucking banana peels in the back of the last one, weren't they? Because they were powered by food waste.
Oh, the thought of it is just too awful to even contemplate.
Yeah, isn't it just? Yeah. Hey, check out behindthewheel.com.au. There you can read with interest Rach's fab little article. Just a little bit more of a musical interlude from the Back to the Future soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Bit of Johnny Be Good. Good way to go out. Thank you, Peter Hitchener. Thank you, Rachel Franco. Let's do Behind the Wheel again next week.
Hey, cheers.
See you guys.
Bye.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny Be Good, who never ever learned to read or write so well, but he could play a guitar just like ringing a bell. Go, go! Go, Johnny, go, go! Go, Johnny, go, go! Go, Johnny, go, go! Go, Johnny, go, go! Johnny Be Good.
There's no doubt Australians love European cars. And on those European cars, Australians love to fit European-style license plates. To complete the Euro image and ensure your special plates are protected against theft, fading and other damage, make sure you get them the best possible protection. We are, of course, talking Altrex number plate protectors. Order your European number plate protectors now from the online store at altrex.com.au and they'll be shipped straight to your door. Altrex.com.au.
Havel's just released a new family 7-seater SUV, the Havel H9. A finalist in the 2017 4x4 Australia Awards, the Havel H9 is an impressive SUV, boasting a 180kW turbo engine, smooth 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity. The luxurious Havel H9 will take you to the outback and back in complete comfort. It's the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au.